now been realized. No one's in a hurry, there's no schedules to keep. We're all enjoying Jesus, just sitting at his feet. If you could see me now, see me now, I'm standing tall and whole. If you could see me now, you know I've seen his face. If you could see me now, you know the pain's been erased. You wouldn't want me to ever leave this place. If you could only see me now, my light and temporary trials have worked out for my good. To know it brought him glory when I misunderstood. Though we've had our sorrows, they can never compare what Jesus has in store for us. No language can ever share. 'Cause if you see me now, I'm walking streets of gold. If you could see me now, I'm standing tall and whole. If you could see me now, you know I've seen his face. If you could see me now, you know the pain's been erased. Oh, if you could see me now, I'm walking on streets of gold. If you could see me now, I'm standing tall and whole. If you could see me now, you know I've seen his face. If you could see me now, you wouldn't want me, no, you wouldn't want me to ever leave this place. If you could only see me now. If you could only see me now. If you could only see
my name is Tim Schaefer. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Community Church, where the Bidle family presently attends. Welcome. Thank you for coming to support Roberta, Micah, and Abby and their greater family this morning as we remember and celebrate the life of Mickey Beitel. I first met Mickey in a men's Bible study that we were both in, and I remember him being very contemplative and taking God's word seriously and showing his love for Christ in acts of service. And I'm grateful for Mickey. Would you pray with me as we begin this service? Heavenly Father, thank you for life. May we honor Mickey and bring you glory as we celebrate his memory and the influence that he had on so many here. Would you give encouragement to everyone? I ask that you would give a special peace and perseverance for Roberta, Micah, and Abby. Lord, you tell us in 1 Thessalonians to always rejoice, to constantly pray, and in everything give thanks. So we thank you so much for Mickey. Thank you for the positive impact he's had on so many of the people here this morning. Thank you that he knows you as his Savior and for the hope that we have in eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite Jim Howard. He's a longtime friend and pastor for the Beidle family.
Thank you, Pastor Tim, and I'd like to say a special thank you to the staff here at Christ Community Church providing this service for us. And on behalf of the Beitel family, we welcome you today. And our service is really designed to honor our Savior. But we also want to honor Mickey's life. See, the Bible teaches us that our life is as a story or a tale that is told. There's different chapters to Mickey's life. And today you're going to hear from a number of speakers about Mickey's impact upon their life. But you're going to learn today how a quiet, unassuming person like Mickey could impact the lives of hundreds. I'm going to invite the family to remain seated. The rest of us are going to stand together. John Ming is going to come and lead us in a congregational song here, Victory in Jesus.
Out together, Victory in Jesus.
I heard about an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary. A wretch like me, I heard an old his groaning of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to
seated. Thank you for that wonderful singing. And at this time, Mr. Neil Freisinger is going to come, my son-in-law, here to share the clergy and obit. Neil?
Mickey Ray Beitel went to be with his Lord on Friday, March 14, 2025. He was surrounded by his loving wife, Roberta, and his children, Micah and Abigail. Mickey was born on June 20, 1967, in Tucson, Arizona. He was born to Richard and Barbara Beitel and was the youngest of six children. As a child, Mickey loved playing cards, fishing, playing soccer, and running track at school. In 1991, Mickey discovered his lifelong passion, disc golf. He eventually became a professional level player. He won numerous tournaments, designed disc golf courses in Tucson, traveled to other states to play, and even held the record for the longest throw for many years in the Tucson area. He loved introducing and teaching this sport to as many people as he could. Mickey and Roberta knew each other as teenagers at church and enjoyed a friendship for many years. Their friendship grew into a loving relationship, and they married on January 9, 1999 at Tucson Baptist Temple. They enjoyed road trips and movies, and she was his biggest cheerleader on the disc golf course. They became parents to Micah Ray in September of 2002, and then were surprisingly blessed with Abigail Joy in July 2009. As a very close family, they were active in their church, saw their children come to the Lord, and Mickey especially sacrificed all that he had to make sure they were well taken care of. Although he did not manage to teach his wife how to play disc golf, both his children picked up the talent, and it was one of their favorite activities to do together. They all love Star Wars, the Green Bay Packers, trips to Pine Top, and their adorable schnauzers. And then there was cooking. He loves serving others with this talent and passes cooking talent on to his children. His greatest joy later in life was watching Abby excel in academics and sports and Micah grow into a humorous young man who makes wise financial decisions and, oh yeah, falls off buildings as a stuntman. We will never forget, though, his greatest fight in life. He battled melanoma for over 10 years as a true warrior. His faith, his responsibilities, his passion never faltered, and he fulfilled all that God called him to do on this earth. Mickey is preceded in death by his father, mother, and oldest brother, Larry. He is survived by his wife, Roberta, two children, Micah and Abigail, his oldest sister, Kate Oliver, and her husband, Ron, his older brother, Kelly Beitel, and his wife, Cheryl, his older brother, Ken Beitel, and his wife, Lori, and his sister, Patty Kramer, and her husband, Sean, and over 16 nephews and nieces.
Thank you, Neil. At this time, we have some from the family who will be sharing with us. John Button, you come ahead. And then after that, we'll have Mrs. Barb Boudier.
Good morning. Thank you all for coming. To celebrate Mick. I had a lot of jokes, but they're not going to work. I first met Mick about 30 years ago when we started dating the Bootier girls. And some of you know that's a heavy cross to bear. I can imagine Mick getting to heaven. Seeing Sandra's dad and him going, "You left them with John." I being together that long, this has made us fixtures in each other's life. Before we had families, we spent many days watching football, the Wildcats or Green Bay, or NASCAR, or any sport that we could. We hung out and we played cards, and he usually won. He won everything, if any of you know him. We played church softball and, of course, disc golf that I never picked up. Many of you know him as McFly. We spent vacations together going to San Diego or Disney, and almost every holiday at our home or in the White Mountains. We became fathers, which changed both of our lives quickly, and we celebrated our families with humor and love. Mick loved the Lord and accepted Christ at a young age. He lived an honest, good life. You could see it in his faith and in his actions. We had attended church faithfully where he was a trustee. We also served in Sunday school in Awanas. The impact of his brothers and family and Sandra's mom and dad were evident. He enjoyed working with the bus kids. Some of you know what that is. Seeing the impact of that church made in their lives because it made it in his. This is also evident. In Micah and Abby's lives. He was a proud dad and uncle. He celebrated accomplishments in church, school, and sports. One thing Mick was a worker. Many times working two jobs to provide for the kids and Bert. He loved working in kitchens, many local restaurants here in town. And my favorite was Hungry Hunter and Longhorn. You always knew you'd get a little bit thicker cut of meat if you went to. I honestly don't think we'll eat a good steak again in our family. He was willing to do the smallest of jobs to get things done. He spent his days working for Ventura Properties, and we as a family are eternally thankful for your support in Mick's career. He loved working for you. Mick was easy to get along with, making friends and conversation. He is loved and respected by many, touching everyone's life here. As a friend, brother, an uncle, a dad, and a husband.
Thank you, John. Ms. Barber, Mickey's mother-in-law.
Gee, I feel like everything's been said that I was just about to say, but for all of us that loved Mickey, we each had a different perspective of his life. Me being his mother-in-law, of course, when they had approached me about marriage, the first thing I thought of, is he going to be good enough for my daughter? You know, as moms of girls, you always want them to have the best of everything. And in the days, weeks, months, and years that passed, he was the best. And you know why? Because he could cook. And Roberta could not and did not want to know how. So for 26 years, every meal that they had was cooked by him at their house. He was a fun-loving guy. I knew from the moment I was around him and talking to him that he was the one for her. He was going to support her. He was going to love her and protect her. Now, Roberta was the oldest of my two children. Mickey was the youngest of six. I was the youngest of six, so we had something in common there, being at the bottom of the barrel. We knew how to fend for ourselves, and we used to have good times just talking about it. One of the things that I remember about Mickey was he was quiet. He didn't talk a lot, But you knew he was always listening. And he didn't forget much of anything that you told him. Now, when the children came along and Micah was in his arms as he walked out of the delivery room, he held Micah so tight that nobody else could get around to take a peek at what he looked like. This was his boy, and he was so proud of him. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about what they did. You're going to hear some of that also. And then 7 years later, when Abby came, wow, Mickey knew how to raise a boy, but a girl was a challenge. He soon became a girl dad. And he supported both of his children in everything that they did. I would ask Abby, where did you learn how to go through the self-checkout line? My dad. So I take her with me when I went shopping so she could go through the self-checkout line. And when you ask the children, well, how did you learn that? My dad told me. So he was very much involved in their lives. The Bible has a verse in the book of James that talks about our faith without works and our faith with works. Now we know that Mickey accepted the Lord as his Savior, but like I said, he didn't say much. I called him a silent witness. He didn't have to talk. He did. He was a doer of the word. When I would call him over to my house to fix something, he might have known how, but he really didn't. So he Googled it. That became our favorite word, Google. He would Google how to fix my car. He would Google the best way to do my lawn and even the toilet. He knew that if he Googled it, he'd find a way to do it. And he did. Mickey struggled the last weeks and days. I was there during his last days, as the family was. And Mickey never wanted to give up. Mickey, do you still want to take this medicine? Do you still? And he'd shake his head. He didn't want to give up on life. His last words to me, as I sat on the couch with him and rubbed his back, he said, I love you very much.
Thank you, Barbara. This time we'll have Sean Kramer.
Morning. Just a couple of memories. We'd get together as a family, go play disc golf. And it wasn't fair. It just wasn't. We'd all get up there and we'd all throw our disc and they would be everywhere. Mick would get up there and he'd throw his disc and it was this far from the pin. But every time, it didn't matter how you threw it, he'd give you a high five with a huge smile. I just didn't. And we'd always tell him, well, there's another birdie, there's another birdie. Of course, us, the only birdies we got, either ones were flying by, or the two in the tree that were high-fiving going, watch this throw, you're gonna laugh your head off. You know, everybody I talked to say Mick is just such a good guy. He just was a good guy, and he was. Years ago, Mick lived with us for a short period of time. We lived in a very small place. You could hear a pin drop in the other room. It was a Saturday afternoon. We were bored to death. You know, we even had cable, and trust me, cable back then, you didn't have much on a Saturday afternoon. And all of a sudden, from the other room, Mick goes, "You've got to see this." So he came out, we turned our TV on, and he had his turn TV on. We were watching bowling from two different rooms. We would run in. This guy was going for a 300 game, and we'd run in him, and he'd high-five us and run back and high-five. And I just remember that was Mick. He cheered everybody. Last day that I got to see Mick, my wife was rubbing his back. Tears came down his face. He said, "It's not fair." He said, "It's not fair. I have to leave my wife and Abby." That was Mick. He had such a passion for people. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Okay, this time, one of the co-workers for Mickey, Miss Kim.
I remember meeting Mickey when he came to interview at our office one morning in December of 2016. We were having a rough go at hiring, and I knew when I interviewed him that he was the one that we needed on the team. When we asked him when he could start, he said he could start after lunch, but that he needed to call his wife first. Mickey and I worked in the accounting trenches together, becoming fast friends. Mickey and I shared a love of dad jokes, silly humor, and had very similar personalities. We would often raise eyebrows in the lunchroom with our minion speak and ability to communicate without making sense to the other unfortunate ones taking lunch at the same time. We often talked about needing to sell tickets to go on a road trip with us to experience just how goofy we really were together. It was a running joke that we were twins, separated at birth 11 years apart. He was our gopher with his coined yummy runners, keeping us fed and full of snacks. He, like all of us, had his quirks and phobias, the sound of styrofoam, empty pools, and rebar, just to name a few. Oh, and a fear of small dogs, due to being flanked by velociraptors, also known as chihuahuas, during a home visit in his previous job. In an office full of women, he was often just one of the girls. But if his man card was ever jokingly threatened, he was quick to remind us that he once ate a fried scorpion in China, complete with video to prove it. Mickey was always quick to step right in and do whatever needed done. He never complained, even if Berta was calling, because it was 7 o'clock. Through downsizings and transitions at the office, he was always there, ready to toss a paperclip or throw out a dad joke to lighten the mood. Even after he knew his prognosis wasn't all what we hoped, he continued to show up at work with an admirable, positive attitude, even though he was miserable in pain. He was very proud of his family and everything his kids did. He would show me pictures and videos of Micah and the Pistoleros. He would also show me the volleyball, whatever spike or block that Abby had done. He was very proud of both of their accomplishments. Mickey's life was vibrant, full of meaning, and undeniably impactful. He apologized to me just last week, worried that he was failing. Failing his family, failing us at work. I think it's important that we remember that he was not a failure. He faced challenges, yes, but he never gave up. And that resilience, that spirit is what we should honor today. Mickey was my buddy, my friend, my chosen family, and I miss him dearly.
This time we'll have our trio come.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, I'm looking down across that river where my faith is gonna end inside. There's just a few more days to labor, then I will take my heavenly flight. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday there my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, Beulah.
Our next speaker here is Pastor Matt Lozano. He served for a number of years at Tucson Baptist as a youth director and children's director, became close friends with Roberta and Mickey. He's serving at Calvary Baptist Church down in Tennessee, I believe it is. And Pastor Matt, you come ahead and share your comments, please. It's a joy to have you here.
Good to see you. Thank you. Well, it's good to see you guys. And I wasn't expected to speak today, but I'm honored to be able to stand here and just share some of my memories of Mickey. God moved our family, my wife and I, Rachel, to Tucson in 2013, and I took a youth pastor position job at Tucson Baptist Church, and I think it was one of the first Wednesdays of our youth meetings I met Roberta and Mickey. And Micah would have still been in like fifth grade or sixth grade.
And Mickey and Roberta were like the only youth workers at the time. And so I remember us getting to know them very quickly and just was excited to be able to be here and serve this community with them. They were the only youth workers serving at the time, and they quickly made themselves available to Rachel and I. They bent over backwards any way that they needed to help us. And that was our start of our friendship with Mickey and Roberta. They were only with us for a few months, though, because they left us to go work in the WANA ministry. And so they were serving faithfully there. So I was trying to get my thoughts together on the plane ride here and try to figure out what would I say about Mickey and Bytel. There's so many things. And so I just thought of an acrostic with the word or the name Mickey. Letter M, he's memorable. I don't believe you could ever forget meeting Mickey. First of all, his name. Every time I think of Mickey Mouse, I think of Mickey Bytel. Every time I hear Mickey Mouse, I think of Mickey Bytel. His personality was memorable. He was witty. He would always laugh at your jokes, even when they weren't funny. He was the king of the sympathy laugh, and I'm so thankful for Mickey Bytel. When I thought of letter I, there's a couple words that came to mind. The first one, I thought of impressionist. He was so good at just mimicking and making impressions. I remember Kelly and I would be in the office together, and Kelly and I would be talking about a cartoon or a movie or an actor, and he would call Mickey up real quick, and Mickey was Kelly's little jester. Anytime we were talking about a character, he would put Mickey on, and Mickey would do the impression of the character, the cartoon, perfectly, and we would laugh and we would hang up. And then we would, you know, like oh, I felt bad. We got to call Mickey again. Hey, man, that was awesome. You know, thank you. And I loved Kelly and Mickey's relationship. It was humorous. But instead of the word impressionist, I thought maybe I would stick with the word inspired. He was always inspiring others. One of my favorite memories of Mickey was when I went out to play disc golf for the first time. And we went off to that course off of Golf Links. I think it was one of the courses he designed. And I went with Kelly and Brian and Micah and myself. First time I've ever held a disc golf. And I always called it frisbee golf. And they immediately corrected me. It's not frisbee golf. This is disc golf. And I remember him showing me how to hold the disc. You know, I remember you throw it across the chest. And I just remember throwing that. And again, I remember he and Kelly teaching me how to throw the disc properly. Even today, when I go out and play disc golf, which is maybe once or twice a year, I'll try to impress them with that throw. And recently, I was a group of friends and pastors, and we were playing disc golf at a camp retreat, and I threw this disc like it felt like 2 miles. And they're looking at me like, how did you do that? I was like, Mickey Bytel. That's all I had to say. I said, Mickey taught me how to throw. So every time I play disc golf and throw something, I always say, thank you, Mickey. He inspired me to be a dad, a good dad. When my wife and I came to Tucson, we had no kids. And that quickly changed after a few years. We had 3 kids born here. And Curtis, Kinsley, and McKenna, and then we have Carson, who was born in Tennessee. But I just remember I was inspired by Mickey's relationship with his kids, how invested he was in Micah and in Abby, and of course his investment he had in Roberta. When I got to the letter C, I thought of the word cheerful. Rachel and I were reminiscing last week about Mickey. And I asked Rachel, what do you think about Mickey? When you hear Mickey Bytel, what comes to your mind? And she said the first thing that came to her mind was his smile. Mickey was always cheerful. I don't know if I've ever seen Mickey frustrated or angry. I'm sure he was, but he never showed it. He was always so calm. He showed patience. He showed poise, which made him the perfect match for Roberta. It was the perfect match. I mean, he was God's gift to Roberta, and I know that they needed each other, and so I was encouraged just how cheerful he was. He was kind. Mickey was kind, and he was tender-hearted. He would literally go out of his way to help you, and what I loved about Mickey is he made himself accessible to your needs. He had such a servant's heart. He was behind the scenes. He didn't like the limelight. He didn't like to stand in front of the people and speak. But he let Roberta teach and handle the children's ministry, and Mickey would serve along with her. I can't count on the number of times that Mickey would bring a teenager that was visiting the church or a child that was visiting the church, and he would be one of the first ones to greet them and introduce them to us and my wife and our team. He was a genuine behind-the-scenes volunteer, and I appreciate that about him. He was encouraging. His accessibility and his kindness were an encouragement to me. Mickey would encourage me verbally all the time with just kind remarks. I remember the gratitude he would show when Mike and I would just go hang out for a little bit, and just those little comments. And I remember Mike and I, we would always talk movies, and I hear Mike had come up with some crazy comic book ideas with some unique superhero names, and Micah and Mickey and I would just laugh about it. And I just remember he was so encouraging, not only to me, but to his family. He was always available for them. And then he was youthful. Mickey loved kids. He loved teenagers. He loved investing in them. He invested in children's ministry. He would serve along Roberta. And he would always encourage, again, from the sidelines. He was always there. And I appreciate that about Mickey. He loved his kids. He loved watching them perform and succeed and also fail. And he was there in those failing moments in their lives. And I remember hearing some stories and asking Mickey specifically, how do you handle, as a dad, how do you handle when your kid fails? He just was present. He was always there. I loved Mickey Beitel. He was a loving husband, a caring father, and more importantly, he was a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. I know that he's no longer in pain. He's rejoicing. He's worshiping his God, his creator, that he served so faithfully here. Mickey had just a great testimony of salvation, and it was the fruit of the Spirit that was evident in his life. I'm reminded of Matthew 7:20, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. And I know based on Mickey's life and his fruit, I am encouraged to know, and you can be encouraged to know today, that he is rejoicing in heaven. And I'm thankful for that. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Pastor Matt. He got in last night about 10:30, and he has to catch a plane to get back to church ministry. He leaves around 3 o'clock today. Thank you so much, Pastor. I always enjoyed serving with you as well. I've had the privilege of serving at Tucson Baptist since 1974, and the first phase of my ministry was being a youth director or a youth pastor there. And we were fortunate. We had a very dynamic and active youth group. It was a wonderful season of life in my ministry. There were a number of young people that got saved and baptized. And I'm ever grateful for Keith Lowry for inviting the Beitel family and introducing me to them. I designed a basketball outreach at our church. I love playing basketball. And I love to go by and visit with Kelly and Mickey and Kenny because they had a hoop out back. And here I am in my wingtips and my tie, and we're body checking each other around and shooting hoop, and dust is flying up everywhere. They were part of our core group of the youth. And then the privilege of seeing Kelly and Kenny and Mickey come to Christ. And then I watched as Mickey grew up as a young adult. As already been mentioned, he met Roberta, and they started dating. And then pretty soon that moved to where they were going to get married. And then we did our premarital counseling. We talked about the origin of marriage. We talked about the foundation of marriage. We talked about the permanency of marriage. We talked about roles and expectations. And I'm sure that you remember these words, Roberta. I, Mickey Beitel, take thee, Roberta, to be my lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death does us part. Both of you were faithful to your vows. watching over the season of sickness and especially these last few years. And I try to think, because I know this hurts, and I know this hurts for Mikey and Abby as well. I remind the children, the Bible says when you lose your mom or your dad, the Lord says, I will take you up. So he's going to be there for you. The verse I thought of is Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher. And that's what we have to do. God is going to see you through this. And I spent some time with the family, and I left talking with the kids, and I asked them some words to describe Mickey. One of the first things they mentioned is that he loves to tell dad jokes. Now, I don't know if they were good or bad, but he loved to share dad jokes. He was a listener. He was quiet. His cooking. At our church, we had an Iron Man ministry, and he would come early on a Saturday, prepare the meal for all the guys. But not only that, we'd have a large event where we'd have 1,200 people for a cookout, and Mickey would take care of that. And some of you men in here have done what I've done, what I call moonlighting. You have a job, but you need to pay some more bills, and you do a job outside of that. And Mickey worked long hours at Longhorn, and a number of the workers are even here today. Mickey was an athlete. In fact, we have a gym at our church, and when we had our very first official game with referee, scoreboard, and everything, Mickey was the first one to make a three-pointer. So we've got that marked down. Kids talked about how he loved to play cards. Now, when he went to school, I believe it was first grade. He didn't go in kindergarten. So they wanted to test his counting skill. So he did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, jack, queen, king. So the teacher had a meeting there. But when he was playing card games with them, he'd say, are you going to play that king you've got in your hand? He just had an innate ability to do that. And then Monopoly games. He has 20 different ones, but Dennis Winans was really his mentor, getting him started into finance and so on, and as an accountant. But he loved playing those games. There's so many personal memories, and I could go on, and there's so many that have been shared. So I want to just have just a few minutes here to close out this service. I think there are a number of reasons for us to have a service such as this. And the first one has been to honor Mickey's life. You've done that well. The slides, the music, the flowers that are here, flowers remind me of the fragrance of their life. These testimonies. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Money wasn't the number one thing in his life. It was investing into the heart and lives of people. That's why the impact he has had is on so many. It's the way he lived his life. And I loved what Mrs. Bootier said. Everybody loved Mickey. And that is so true. And then we want to draw comfort from the Bible. The Bible's the only book that tells us where we came from, why we're here upon this earth, and where we can spend all of eternity. When I visited with Mickey on Thursday, I took time to read the 23rd Psalm. He was semi-conscious. I believe he was able to hear us. You know this psalm. It's probably read almost at every funeral. You can say it along with me in your heart if you desire. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's no need to fear a shadow. For there to be a shadow, there must be a light. And I believe that represents all that Jesus Christ stands for. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And capture this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And a companion verse chapter to this is John chapter 14. And the reason why it means so much to me, I was a 12-year-old boy. I was standing in a cemetery saying goodbye to a baby brother. There was a pastor there whom I did not know. My brother had been won to Christ through a basketball outreach at that church. And when my dad asked if we could have that pastor come, he agreed to come. And I heard these words. And it was shortly about a year after that that I came to know Christ. But it's a portion of Scripture that offers us so much hope. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? Greatest question in life. And Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there's one last reason for us to have a service such as this, and that's to gain hope. Hope for today, hope for tomorrow. See, there's a number of promises that I can lay down here for you. The very first promise is the forgiveness of sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's willing to cleanse us and to forgive us. In Romans, he says, if we should confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As a result of receiving Christ, you're given a wonderful gift, and it's the gift of eternal life. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And this next promise was so true for Mickey. When you have accepted Christ, when you die, you are in the immediate presence of Christ. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12 says that the body returns to the dust, the spirit returns unto the God who gave it. And it's amazing how God seems to orchestrate our life. He chooses when we enter into this world, and he chooses when we leave this world. He has set the bounds we cannot pass. But you recall when Jesus was crucified, there were two thieves. One accepted him, one rejected him. To the one that accepted him, he said, today, not tomorrow, not next year, not some other time. He said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. So when Mickey closed his eyes in death, immediately he was ushered into the presence of the Lord. And then finally, there's a place that's called heaven. Maybe you haven't looked at it lately, but if you would look in Revelation 21 and 22, there's a wonderful description about heaven. The street of gold, the walls 200 feet high, the gates of pearl. For the pearl to be there had to be suffering for that to be formed. So I think that represents the suffering that Christ did there upon the cross. The 12 gates of pearl. The dwelling places called a mansion. 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 that are singing. You have the throne of God. You have loved ones that have gone on before. As we know, there are family members there for him. Listen to these two verses. Revelation 21, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. He has to come pretty close to do that. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In Revelation 22, there shall be no night there, So it seems like the best way to describe heaven are things that will not be there. In heaven, there'll be no more night. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain. And ultimately, there'll be no more death. In John chapter 11, we have a story where Jesus attends a family that was having a funeral. You know the story pretty well, that his best friend Lazarus had died. And he came and he met with the sisters there. And the first part of that verse, chapter, it speaks about the people being there. And it says they came to comfort the sisters, just as you've come today here to comfort the Bytel family. And Jesus was there and he shared this with them. He said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's the faith that Mickey had in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today, you've heard many wonderful stories about his life. I've had the privilege of being in the ministry 50 plus years. I've taught more than 4,500 lessons. I've read hundreds and hundreds of books. I've preached numerous funerals. But this is the greatest statement that I've ever read. It is spoken by Jesus Christ himself. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. That changes everything in this life. And obviously in the life to come. How did Mickey touch hundreds of lives? It was due to his commitment in Christ. And you know, Christ is willing to do the same for you even here today. Let's just go ahead and bow our heads together as we close in prayer. Then we'll have a song here in just a moment. Father, I can't thank you enough for all that have participated here. Thank you for Tabitha playing the piano, John leading the singing, these wonderful testimonies that have been shared. And Lord, from the very onset, as we've thought about this service for days on end, it's been that it would bring glory and honor to you. Thank you that Mickey had a personal faith in you. And Lord, if there's someone under my voice that maybe has contemplated, thought about it, but maybe hasn't embraced Christ yet, even where they're seated, they can simply pray in their heart and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save my soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. I trust you to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can look this way. At this time, we'll have a song, No More Night.
The timeless theme, earth and heaven, will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new. The day gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. again. Praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See all around the nations bow down in praise. They sing the praises to Christ our King. Slowly never crying again. Praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over
go ahead. I have the family remain seated. The rest of us stand together. Brother John will come and we'll have our congregational song.
Very fitting song for today when we all get to heaven. Sing it out together.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy, his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory on onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Thank you once again, Tabitha and John, and again, thank you, Christ Community Church, your staff, and everyone. This will conclude our portion of the service, and this is what I share with the Bytel family. The Lord bless you, keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, the Lord lift up his countenance unto you, and give you peace. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, you'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Father, we thank you for this service now. We pray that you'll bless the family in the months and days ahead. We thank you for each who have come and participated in this service. Dismiss us now with thy blessings. We thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.